Thank you for joining us today at fourthstream.com. There are a few topics that I never tire of talking about or being taught or being exhorted to remember, and that's the subject of hope. Because even a glimmer of hope can really make you keep going. At least that's how I feel. Do you find that to be true?
Yes, and in the context of the three great things, you know, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Well, that doesn't mean that hope and faith aren't great too. You know, the greatest is love, but you know, hope is just so important when it comes to how we live our lives and, you know, how we look at each day that we're living.
So the main verse that we're looking at today is 1 Peter 3:15.
Oh, I love this.
But we'll add a bunch of others. So if today you're feeling despondent or disheartened, I hope that you'll see reasons for having a really deep hope to replace that. So in the New American Standard, it says, "But set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and respect." And the Message says it just a little differently. "Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ your Master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are, and always with the utmost courtesy."
Yeah, I like that, speak up, rather than translating it as defense. And they're just, this is just such a beautiful word picture that Peter is giving us about the hope that's inside of us. It's not like it's an external thing. And that means that we have to be connected with the hope that has been planted within us through the good news.
I think that's really important, because when you're feeling depressed or when you're feeling despondent or hemmed in, you forget that it's actually already been placed in you.
Yes.
And you start listening to the lies that everything is hopeless rather than finding where that hope is.
Well, and I'm sure there's not anybody listening right now that doesn't know the feeling of hopelessness. When you encounter something that you don't think that can be overcome, or when something comes upon you that you didn't have anything to do with it, or just some of the issues that happen in life, and, you know, being able to deal with that in a hopeful, from a hopeful perspective is not a simple thing to do.
That's not easy to say.
No.
Okay, so what things or issues do you find personally to be the greatest drain upon having a hopeful heart? Because I think for some people it's finances or illness. Fear is a big one, but I also think grief is a big one, and it's way more encompassing than we sometimes consider, because you think of grief as when, you know, a death, but death really can define a lot of things. It's the death of a marriage or death of a dream. You know, you have to grieve that, and sometimes you don't just grieve, you move to hopelessness.
Yeah, I think for me, how that relates is I'm a hard worker, so every once in a while, I look up. It's almost like, you know, I don't think about it. I just keep working.
Nose to the grindstone.
But I'll look up and I'll just feel like discouraged. And so that's a big deal for me related to hope and why I need hope. But that's one of the things that fights against my hope, because once I get discouraged, then I start feeling sorry for myself. That's kind of like a family trait. And I have to be really careful not to go there, because it makes me more and more hopeless, which seems to insulate me from being able to embrace true hope from God.
Right. Well, Romans 5, 1 through 5, and I'm going to read out of the New American and then move to the Message for the second paragraph, just mostly for time.
Okay.
"But therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand."
Now, what a great picture. Yeah. You know, the grace that we are standing in. It's almost like we're in it up to our knees or up to our waists.
Well, I remember when you were first learning about that, it was right after you'd become a believer. And I can remember how astonished you felt. And that was really a teaching moment for me. Sort of the astonishment you felt of, I'm standing in grace. So no matter where I move, I can't step out of the circle of grace. Yeah. And that was really instructive to me too. But I just remember the glow almost on you when you recognized, I can't escape this.
Yes.
It's just very cool. Into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. But there is more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Is that cool?
That is really neat. What a great translation.
And you read that translation and you go, how can I ever feel hopeless? But I think the big point for me was recognizing that this hemmed in feeling.
Hemmed in, which I think is very poignant.
Yeah, it's actually God. I mean, the hope for us is that God hasn't forgotten us.
Yes.
He's hemming us in because he wants to teach me something. And while that is sometimes through depressing situations, there is still a hope out there that keeps you going.
Well, it's so counterintuitive because when you get in those situations, everything inside of you wants to escape. And basically what we know from the scriptures is that when God has put us in a place or hemmed us in, we know that there is a way of escape, but he wants us to go his way rather than the way of, I just don't want this anymore.
In the hope of knowing that where he is taking me, I couldn't get there without his intervention.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
That's kind of a satisfying or peaceful, or it's comforting. It's
and
a
hopeful.
Comforting thought.
And hopeful.
Yeah, and hopeful. I was trying to stay away from that word since that's what we're talking about. But okay, so we also have some, I don't know, just other awesome hope passages.
Well, the Romans 5 passages that you just read, there's a progression in that. And if you've never looked at that before, take the time to read it, because hope doesn't just stand out there. You know, there's a progression that happens. And then to have a hope that doesn't disappoint, we go through a process to get there. And you've alluded to that, but I think it's worth studying and reading for yourself.
Well, it is, because if I can go back to it, it develops passionate patience. These troubles develop passionate patience. And then it forges tempered steel of virtue. These are not easy words. You don't just decide to have that. It's forged. It's made to happen in us. Romans 8:25 says, but the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy.
And this is not talking about wait.
Right. And in the New American Standard, it says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we persevere. With perseverance, we wait eagerly for it.
Yeah.
I kind of botched that. Did that make sense?
It made sense to me, but then I'm aware of the verse. You want to read it again?
Yeah. But the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. In the New American Standard, it says, but if we hope for what... I just can't read this. But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it.
Well, and that translation is tying together expectancy with hope. And as our expectancy grows, then our hope is built up. And, you know, expectancy is something that you can relate to. Hope is kind of a, you know, big word. You know, how do you get your head around that? But expectancy, I think everybody can kind of understand that feeling.
Even a glimmer sort of keeps you going.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 13:13, but for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of the three is love.
Yeah, faith, hope, and love. And you're reading from several passages that are on a study sheet at the bottom. Always, whenever we're doing a podcast or talking about a topic, we try to look at the thread all the way through the scriptures. So there's a thread of hope, and we've taken some of those verses and put them into that so that you can print it off. And if you want to have a conversation with your kids or with some friends or just think more about it yourself, we're there for you.
This is a short one, but it's so good. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Just what hope does for you.
In fact, the next time we're to get together, we're going to talk about praying boldly. And you can't pray boldly if you don't have a robust hope that's unfolding in your life. The two things just go together, because we shrink back when our hope is weak.
Ephesians 1:18. Listen to this. I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the glory of God, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what he is calling you to do, grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers, and oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him, endless energy and boundless strength.
Well, thanks for joining us today. It kind of makes you hopeful, doesn't it, Bernadette?
Yes.